check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, what's going on? Welcome to Canel and Bell on this Friday. Good to be in-house on a Friday, a rare weekend off for me. I get the whole weekend, no college football, no studio stuff, no game. I get to hang out, watch all the games like a fan, take it all in. But it's good to be here in studio with you, as usually I'm on Skype or some sort of connection issue. So good to be here today, and a perfect day to do it. The U is back. I totally forgot. Last time. We said
that's
1 week.
That's why I'm here.
We said 1 week. Correct. The U is back. I had to say it to open the show every day. I'm a man of my word. I'm shopping for shoes for you to find the other side of our bet, which I lost. So I will get those for you as well. We do have a ton of stuff we have to get to. Breaking news out of Tallahassee. Breaking news out of Columbus. The NBA has come down hard on Kawhi. What does it all mean? Ton of stuff we have to get to. Let's start it off with the most recent breaking news, which is Chase Young, the star defensive lineman for the Ohio State Buckeyes. This just came out within the last couple hours, has now been suspended for the Maryland game, facing an indefinite suspension by Ohio State. They're saying, all right, let's hold on a second. According to their release, they said in a statement, Ohio State's Chase Young will not play in this Saturday's game between the Buckeyes and Maryland Terrapins due to a possible NCAA issue from 2018 that the Department of Athletics is looking into. You always want to be careful when you're just getting the news right as it's breaking, because you want to make sure you get it right. But there is speculation that this is dealing with an issue between him and an agent, that he might have taken money improperly. My initial reaction was you can kiss the Heisman Trophy goodbye. I hate that for him, too. I mean, I'm not saying this is like, hey, this.
He won't win it anyway.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I think he would have had to have the perfect. That's why I think he can kiss it goodbye.
Everything would have to line up. All stars aligned.
Missing out a game against Maryland, he probably would have had a couple sacks minimum. Maybe could have had like a total career game and had four or five, which would have helped continue pad his stats and lead the country. You're not out there versus Maryland. I don't think it impacts Ohio State this week. I don't think it impacts them the next week. But I do think against Penn State and Michigan coming down the stretch, I do think it is a critical loss. He is the best player on their team. Not the best defensive player. He's the best player above J.K. Dobbins, above Justin Fields. As a defensive player, you don't see that a whole lot. But he is an absolute stud.
This definitely hurts them when they play – forgive my real opponents.
Yes. Like, you know, they're a 35-point favorite against Maryland.
Yeah, it's going to definitely hurt. Here's the deal. This is a terrible look for Ohio State. There always seems to be something going on at Ohio State, no?
Correct.
I mean, every year we're talking about, and look, I've never worked in an athletic department. My dad did for a long time. This is just, you know, the eyeball thing here. You're telling me you didn't know that this happened in 2018? Like, you're telling me you missed this, and then just all of a sudden yesterday, somebody dropped a note on someone's desk saying, hey, FYI, you guys need to look into Chase's situation. Unbelievable. Unplausible. Somebody knew it. They didn't do anything about it. And then it was brought to someone's attention, like, yo, we're going to let this out to the light, and now they got to do something about it.
Yeah.
No other way around that.
Timing is peculiar. I always wonder how these things come across the desk of Ryan Day and Ohio State, and how all of a sudden it just happens now. I know how crazy college football fans are. I'm sure there's going to be some rumors running rampant in Ohio State chat rooms, Michigan chat rooms. Maybe it was a Michigan fan who reported him, who had some evidence. Like, seriously, that will be speculated that's out there. I will give Ryan Day and the coaching staff a little bit more of a cushion than you sound like you're giving them, that they might not know.
I'm not saying that Ryan Day and staff did.
Right.
I'm saying Ohio State Athletic Department
right.
had to have known
right.
about this. Like, that's what I'm saying.
I also think, so here's what I think runs the risk. It is an indefinite suspension for sure out versus Maryland, and then they want to look into this. I think you might have seen the last of Chase Young at Ohio State. And I also think this gives him an opportunity to kind of, his stock is exactly peace Deuces. Out. I see you. I see Deuces. It. Because what we see last year, Nick Bosa, who went number one in the draft or number two in the draft. He shut it down for a hernia surgery, could have come back. And you know what he said? He's like, no, I'm good. I think there's more of a prevailing sentiment across college football players. Hey, a championship is nice, but getting $25 million is a lot nicer.
Sure.
I'm going to go ahead and bounce. I think it's a convenient opportunity for him to do that. I'm sure that what if it is, in fact, an agent that gave him money, let him borrow money, whatever way you want to look at it, is probably saying the same thing to him. You know what? What's the advantage of going back? Your stock is at an all-time high right now.
I do think he's going to weigh those options more heavily than he did before. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go back though and
let me interrupt you though before, because I have actually more breaking news out of this. As at 10 a.m., so right when we started the show, Chase Young, official verified Twitter, came out with it. I always have to check that because you never know, you're going to get fooled with some dummy account. Chase Young has a statement. I'll read it to you. Unfortunately, because this answers some of your thing, how long it's been going on. Unfortunately, I won't be playing this week because of an NCAA eligibility issue. I made a mistake last year by accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at Ohio State. I repaid it in full last summer, and I'm working with the university and the NCAA to get back on the field as soon as possible. I want to thank my family, teammates, coaches, and the whole Ohio State community for all the love and support. God bless, and go Bucks. So that kind of tells you that they probably did know about it. And they're trying to look into it now and find out exactly what his eligibility states. Does it change anything that we just talked about in the first 5 minutes?
No.
I don't think so
either.
I think he's saying the right things. I want to get back on the field with my teammates.
Where I think it would be different than the Bosa situation is, like, they were out of the playoff last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was no real potential for them to win a national championship because they were outside of the top four, correct?
Right.
His team is number one in right? Weren't they number one?
Yes, they're like, number one. A lot of people think they're the best team and the favorite to go win it all.
I do think that would change a guy like him and maybe even Bosa's mindset at the end of the day. Look, if I'm rolling out there playing in relatively meaningless games because I'm already a top five pick, universally regarded, then why do it? But if I have a chance to maybe win a natty with like my boys and I'm not coming back next year anyway, I think that would change, you know, the conversation for he and his family just a bit. But I'll tell you what, when they suspend you, like,
it hurts, man.
It hurts. Feel like they don't have your back. You're like, damn, you guys, you know, we knew that this was in the pipeline. Like, I probably told a lot of people at the university, we've been trying to sift through it.
Right.
You guys told me it was going to be cool. And now you're suspending me.
Right.
Like, do you know?
Yeah. It all depends on the message to Chase Young. I mean, and Chase Young, the message might have been told to him, and I'm sure this is what they told him. Hey, if you play and we get, you know, popped, it could cost us a game, could cost us that national championship, right?
You've been playing
me.
You've been playing me the whole time.
Yeah, I agree.
You've been using me and playing me the entire time. And now once your feet are to the fire and it looks like you could get in trouble, you go sit me down.
But you brought up something that I think is the timing of this. Like, why does it come all about just now?
Right now.
Like, I wonder, did somebody report him? I don't know. It's awful convenient that Maryland and Rutgers, two of their easiest games on the schedule, are coming up now.
Right.
You know, I don't know why. I do think it's really important that he gets back on the field for their last two versus Penn State and Michigan, and we'll see. I do. There's also part of me, I'm just a little bit more of a skeptic. Like, when his statement says a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at Ohio State, it's probably an agent, right? I mean, because those agents will come sniffing around that early and they'll say, sure. I think also the amount of money does depend. If it's 10 grand, 5 grand, 2 grand, you pay it back, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the NCAA would probably look at it similarly and say, you know what? Just take a couple games off.
Right.
Let you come back Penn State. If it's 100, 150, and maybe it's a little bit more like, did you really pay it back? Like, some of the details, the finer details.
Sure.
I think that is something that has to be taken into it.
Yeah.
This all goes back to, we could totally avoid this if we would just let players you know, allow them to make some money off their likeness, sure, then we would. And this is where I've evolved. This used to drive me nuts. How could you be this selfish? How could you do this? Now I'm like, you know what? We could avoid this because he could have made some money and he wouldn't have had to, you know, do something illegal as far as it pertains to the NCAA rule book. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at, like full circle on these rules, that some of these are just dumb.
They are dumb, Danny.
Now, I don't think that'll change and he can't get a loan from an agent. But if he needs money, which a lot of kids do, he could have made some money and put it forward to help his family or whatever he needed.
Whatever you needed to do. I mean, if you're a 17-year-old and you're getting an academic scholarship to go to like Yale, but in your spare time, you want to have this startup company and you need seed money for it.
Right.
You're allowed to go get a loan.
Right.
You know what I mean? How is that? You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
amateurism and like, I don't buy into all of that, man. Like, these guys should be afforded the same opportunity. And yes, they are given a scholarship.
Yep.
But in the comparison I just drew, you're getting an academic scholarship. It doesn't preclude you from getting an academic scholarship just because you've taken out a loan to finance your startup, does it?
No.
It does not.
Nope. So yeah, it'll be something we'll keep an eye on and we'll keep you up to date right on here on CBS Sports HQ throughout the day. If anything further comes out of this, and we'll probably see this story continue throughout the season. Ohio State, I don't think it impacts their game versus Maryland at all. I think they win and cover if you want a little bonus. But that's that from Columbus. There is also somewhat, I'll call it breaking rumors because I don't believe a lot of the stuff. And my big fear for Florida State, stop it. My biggest fear for Florida State was that they were going to look foolish. And I'm talking about really the fan base.
Come on, movie.
No, I'm not doing it for this. I am not doing it for this one. Because last night, Ian Rowe, you're having fun with it. See, I've had fun with this for the past decade with Miami.
All right,
as they've been through coach after coach. And I have been in your position. I think it can be very embarrassing for a fan base when you look foolish with a coaching search. I thought it was a bad look that Florida State fired Willie Taggart as early as they did. I didn't like that. My big concern was that Florida State was going to look like Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee embarrassed themselves with the last coaching search they went through. They were always speculating, hey, John Gruden, he's going to come here. And there were erroneous reports all over the place. Then they had a coach in Greg Schiano. The fans didn't like it. So they sullied him, ruined his name, his reputation, and they got Jeremy Pruitt in there. Like, they didn't want it to happen. It was embarrassing by all accounts. I didn't want Florida State to be in that position. I have very little confidence that it's going to end that way. With last night, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reporting that his colleague at the NFL Network, one Deion Primetime Sanders, is now a candidate to be the next head coach at Florida State. I cringed when I first saw this for a couple of reasons. One, what is your source for this? Is this just Deion wanted to promote himself and put himself in the conversation and say, yeah, I've called. I want to be the head coach. And so Ian Rappaport said, and they took the call and they said, sure, you can come interview for it. Is that what it is? And then I cringed at the reality that this could actually happen.
Because you're not a believer.
I'm not. I think it could be a total disaster. And the one thing that I firmly believe is Florida State does not have a lot of margin for risk here.
Correct.
To take on Deion Sanders. If it was after Jimbo, you know, maybe you feel a little bit good and you kind of can take that sort of flyer, say Jimbo left it a mess. We're right like then. But after the experiment that was Willie Taggart, I don't think you can afford to take a long shot, which I think Deion Sanders is a long shot. You know, I know he's coached some high school football. I know his name would resonate no matter what with high school. I think he'd be able to recruit. But the one thing that Florida State has really lacked, it's been discipline. And maybe he brings that. I don't know.
Right.
But I also know coaching is a grind. Like, it is a 16-hour workday. You got to hit the recruiting trails. You can't just call up guys from your house in Tallahassee and say, hey, I'm Deion, come to Florida State. You got to go meet families. You got to go to high school football games. I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence that Deion Sanders is willing to do that at this point.
Wants to do that. Like, and that's like it's almost a compliment to how successful you've been, and you're at a point in your life where you don't need to do that necessarily, right? So I don't mean it as like a, you know, Deion, look, I'm torn with this one because
me too. Honest with you, my initial reaction is, oh, this can't happen. This could be a disaster. And yet, there's a piece of me in the back of my mind that's like, man, the guy loves Florida State, Hall of Famer. He's, you know, he brings a lot of energy. He'd bring a lot of excitement. But I'm like,
no, I know. I'm kind of right there with you in lockstep because initially I was like, nope, dude, do not do this. And then I was like, Deion, like, you can get in anybody's, like, living room. Like, if you surround him with really, really, really solid established coaches that know what they're doing, and he can just kind of, you know, be the face of the franchise, or the program. Very few programs work like that, though. At the collegiate level, you really have to have someone in there, you know, that's stable as a coach and can delegate and culture drive. And I just don't know that he's got the experience doing that.
Right.
And on top of it, it is a grind. Lastly about it, they can't afford to miss. This has to be a stable, high floor hire.
Right.
Meaning the bottom's not going to drop out of the program. We might not blow the roof off of it, but when he leaves it, we won't be any like lower totem pole as a program than we are right now.
Right.
The last thing I'll say about that search, it's too noisy, man. We're a week into it.
Right. And you've already seen Bob Stoops.
Too noisy.
It was a done deal. And then that doesn't happen. You know, now it's Deion. You wonder if it's going to be Urban Meyer next.
Right.
And maybe it's Jim Harbaugh. It's just, it becomes a circus.
It
becomes
too noisy.
A sideshow.
Yeah.
But in today's environment, people click on things and they just attach to it. There was a fake account, like a burner account, that said Nick Saban was in line and they had a buyout that they had discussed. And I'm like, and yet people will click on it and they'll start talking about it. And then all of a sudden it spread. Now, that one got quickly. Thank goodness people were like, no, we're not falling for that. But this one, I don't know if I believe it.
I do think you have to bring it. You got to bring him in, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's got to be in.
And I would be okay with that. We've kind of joked around a little bit about, hey, would I want the job or would you want to coach at a major basketball program? Yeah. And I would say yes. If I could be planted in the head coach role, which you'd be given to Deion, if you gave me a good staff, which I would expect the same for Deion. Mm-hmm. And then he's a way more better name than I would ever be.
Sure.
And if he wants to be a figurehead and they kind of build it, my initial reaction is no, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, give me a really strong staff.
Sure.
And I could start buying in.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I feel like we're falling into that. We're falling for, you know, the scam. I don't know, scam, whatever. Like that we're falling for fake news.
Right.
You know, in 2019 term. I feel like that's what we're doing, even discussing the merits of this. But I do think Florida State will bring him in. If he wants to interview, say, why not? They're having a coaching search for him. Put him in front of him and see what he can present.
Right.
And maybe you'll be blown away. You know, maybe it would be. How would you feel if Ray Lewis was, you know, if, let's say Manny Diaz lost and they said, Ray Lewis, the next head coach of Miami.
I'd feel the same way.
Right? It's exactly.
I would. I heard Ed Reed the other day. And like, I think those dudes are brilliant football minds. I would always worry about a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience taking on a job as big as that. Right? Like, but you know.
All right, I got some breaking news.
We
actually have a whole staff assembled by Barrett Salee, our CBS Sports HQ colleague.
All right.
Writes right here for us. He's found it. Florida State, we got to report this as breaking news. Head coach, their staff is in place. Bob Stoops, head coach. Deion is defensive coordinator. Chris Ricks. Why don't I get the – I have to play quarter – I'm quarterback coach. I want the offensive coordinator job. What the heck? Why am I getting that? Randy Moss, receivers coach. Warwick Dunn is running back coach. This would be a pretty impressive staff.
Dope.
Look at him, Nick Saban to coach DBs.
That's
pretty good. And then, of course, Sebastian Janikowski, one of the greatest kickers of all time, is the special team coach. And then I like the analyst role for Butch Jones. No Florida State ties there, just to troll Butch Jones, who took his name out of the Rutgers job. So good job by Barrett Salee coming up with that coaching staff. Pretty funny there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Made it PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, welcome back to Kennell and Bell. As we have news out of the NBA, where they actually stood by their policy. And this is a policy that was put in place where they can fine teams for resting players due to load management.
Okay.
Now, it gets tricky because yesterday when we broke down the whole Kawhi Leonard situation where he sat the front end of a back-to-back and we're like, well, they can't fine him because what if he really is hurt? And the NBA put out a release, said we trust the Clippers staff, you know, so we're not going to fine him. We're not going to take anything. And then Doc Rivers had some interesting comments because he was talking about Kawhi. He said he feels great, but he feels great because what we've been doing, we're just going to continue to do it. There's no concern here, but we want to make sure. I think Kawhi made a statement that he's never felt better. It's our job to make sure he stays that way. And the NBA said, well, hold on a second. That's not what you told us. Like, he told us he was hurt.
Yeah.
So they're saying, no, this is clearly it. So they fine the Los Angeles Clippers $50,000. In the league statement, they also detailed Kawhi's injury, which Kawhi said he was shocked to see. They said Leonard is suffering from an ongoing injury to the patella tendon in his left knee and has been placed by the team at this time an injury protocol for back-to-back games. This is a mess. This is a bad situation that the NBA is really struggling with how to handle.
Yeah, it's getting real messy now when they start disclosing, like, you know, particulars about your injury, trying to cover their bases as a league, saying that you have, you know, knee injury. The Clippers don't give a damn. It's 50 racks.
Well,
50 racks. Do the math with me, all right?
Yep.
You're going to miss 20 games, right?
Yep.
What's that, a million?
Not even, is it?
A million,
is,
right?
Yeah.
20 games, it's a million. Each home game in a playoff, the way it's been described to me throughout my career is, for each playoff home game, it generates roughly $1 million for the franchise, right?
Yeah.
So if you have title aspirations, you could play, I don't know, 7, 8, maybe 9, that's conservative home games
right.
On the way to that championship. You don't think it's worth it to the franchise to pay it $1 million to rest him for 20 games? If that gets you more of an opportunity to reap the benefits of, like, just financially,
right,
the playoff home games. I'm not even talking about everything that comes with winning the actual championship.
All right, let's say they miss the playoffs. I'm going to tell you where it doesn't even make a dent because Darren Revelle sent out a tweet. So the Clippers owner, Steve Ballmer, his net worth,
$53 billion.
The equivalent, the $50,000 fine, is the equivalent of an average American fining them one penny.
That's phenomenal.
Isn't that unbelievable? Like, that just kind of puts in perspective. Yeah. It's like, are you crazy? But $50,000, that's all. Now, I don't know the policy itself. I know in the NFL, if you're a player and there's a recurring, like, if it's weight, if it's your uniform violation, they can double it every time, which would be get a little bit more problematic, but still, so it's 2 cents, so it's 3 cents, so it's a dollar, like whatever, according to like the whatever it is, because $1 million is probably like a dollar then, right? Not that big of a deal to Steve Ballmer, but it does.
You know, it's just, it's a terrible look.
It's a bad look.
If you're going to do it, Clippers, right, just help the league out by saying it's injury. Like, do you know what I mean? Don't come out, Doc. I think that's where it gets really, you know, ugly, and it's a black eye for the league. Is the league is trying to protect themselves by saying, hey, we're not load managing right here. We're like, we got an injured player. And
right.
If you want to rest him, we understand that you're load managing. Just don't go out in the media and make us look like fools by saying you're load managing when we're trying to say it's an injury.
Right.
And then Doc Rivers goes out and says we're load managing. We're going to continue to do it.
Let me ask you something, because Joey and I were having a conversation before the show about this, and I think it is really interesting. Is this just a Kawhi Leonard issue? Is that why we're all up in arms about it? Is that why the NBA is really coming down hard? And basically, I guess what the follow-up question is who else are we paying attention to that's taking nights off? Because I think if LeBron had sat out 2 of the first 8 games, then we'd be like, what's the problem? Like, what are we doing? Is that about it, though? Like, Giannis, I think, would be in that category.
Giannis.
If he was resting.
James Harden.
I think James Harden,
absolutely. You know, any superstar that's going to have nightly games on TNT or ESPN or whatever other network, any of those guys, if they start.
What about Damian Lillard? Plays in a market, you know, doesn't get quite as many. So we're not even noticing if it's Damian Lillard.
I mean.
Probably not. I'm with you, though. No, I don't think it would.
I mean, you're talking about, like, you're talking about Q ratings now, right? Like,
yes.
star power.
Because Jimmy Butler missed 3 games for the birth of his child. I didn't hear, but it is
narrative.
different nobody even cared. I think if Kawhi said 3 games, we'd all be like, yeah, he might have a baby, but he's doing it to rest.
Right.
Like, no one even blinked. No one even noticed on
that. What about a guy like Joel Embiid, who we know has an injury history? If he was to sit out 2 of the first 8 games, because we know what his injury was, is part of it because Kawhi, there was so much uncertainty around whether he was ever even injured in the first place.
No, I was just going to say that, though, but I was going to attack it from the other angle. Like, he actually has a lingering injury history. He missed a whole season due to a knee that was misdiagnosed over and over and over again. You're not talking about a guy who's got a clean bill of health that's just telling you, hey, I need rest, or the organization just saying we need to rest him just precautionarily. Like, he has injuries on the record. He's missed an entire season. So they're guarding against that. And when you factor in that Toronto did it last year and it you know, they reap the benefits by winning a championship. I guess my question would be, why wouldn't you do that?
Right, exactly. Right, it does. You know, I mentioned Damian Lillard. He's actually second in the league in minutes. He's averaged 37, over 37 minutes a game. So, you know, it's just.
I respect that.
I do too. I love it.
I love it. I respect that. I would also say, like, I can see both sides of the coin on this one. Like, anybody out there playing and 82 games is what you get paid to do, and you want to go out there and put on a show every night and compete to win a game. I was wired like that. So I mess with you, homie. Like, I get down with that. Any organization and player on a championship team, then there are only like five teams that can really think they're going to win a championship, Danny. I would argue less, but some people have no self-awareness. So they think they're in the championship hunt, right?
Right.
Really only like four teams that should really be considering themselves a championship level team.
Absolutely.
If you're on one of those four teams and as an organization, you decide to protect Danny Cannell from himself to give us a better chance to win a championship, I get down with that too. So yep. I see both sides of this one.
All right, you know who I can guarantee you isn't resting, no load management, no nothing? Any player on the Charlotte Hornets.
They suck.
Because they're 4-4.
They
suck.
They're
in a playoff. They do suck. And they don't have a star player, as we're talking about.
Correct.
But I don't think that's why we didn't see Kemba do it. Because the reason I say that, Steve Clifford, former coach with that team, said MJ would tell the players, you're paid to play 82 games. We're not sitting guys just to sit. Being with Michael in Charlotte, Michael used to tell them every year, you're paid to play 82
games. All right, fine.
That's been my mindset.
Fine.
Hey, you're paid to play 82. Give us 82.
Mike is the GOAT, all right?
Yep.
I would ask Michael Jordan this question.
Well, maybe that's why he can't get any players.
Yeah, maybe. let me ask you this question, Mike. If I told you you had to pick one of the two, you could have a player play the 82nd game of the season because, damn it, that's what you paid him to play in.
Right. That's what I did.
Or you could rest him that 82nd game, and it would guarantee you that he didn't get hurt in the first game of the NBA Finals, thus derailing your chance to win a championship. What would you take?
Oh, you'd take the championship
and take the championship.
Exactly. Joey, what do you got for us in a foreign employee of the team?
Look, Cliff's my guy. I learned more in 2 years under Cliff. I got a master's working for Cliff. I would say to Cliff, Michael, you know Michael Jordan is a bad owner. Don't invoke MJ's name when you're trying to, you know,
deflect,
get something out of your players. Because, look, the best player in franchise history played 82 games last year and then just left the team. And these young kids, Zion Williamson was born in 2000. MJ was sitting in the front office of the Wizards in 2000. These guys don't care what MJ has to say about playing 82 games. They just don't. They know him as the shoe guy.
Yeah.
You know? LeBron is their guy that they watched growing up. They know him as the shoe guy. So, yeah, MJ played 82 games a lot in his career, and so did Kemba last year. And what does he have to show for it? Great,
yeah.
Cool.
That's a good point. It's a valid point. It's a valid point. You're never going to get the GOATs. Or that generation of player to stop. You're never going to get them to do that. Like,
right.
And that's okay. That's the way you were raised. This was drilled into you.
That's why I'm a little bit surprised you have come along and evolved your line of
thinking. I'm progressive, baby.
You obviously are.
Man, I'm evolving.
I'm stuck
time,
in the old
Danny.
School. I'm with MJ. I'm riding with the GOAT. Give me 82.
You either get on it or you get left behind, dog. I'm on it. Let's ride.
That is true. Speaking of guys who we need to see riding is Zion Williamson,
yeah.
who did talk about his rehab. Have a listen to what he had to say.
I'm just kind of taking it day by day. It's just, I think when I'm ready, no real timetable. When I'm ready, I'll come back. It's not even a conversation I have to have with them about it. It's kind of, it's a long season. This isn't like college or something where it's 30 games. It's 82 games, so I don't really see a need to rush back.
So just from talking to the doctors and stuff like that, what are the steps you have to go through before they feel comfortable with you getting back on the practice court?
Just getting back to myself. When they feel like I'm back to myself, they'll let me play. Like, simple as that.
I love him. I love the kid. Like, he's got a really nice attitude. Like, I like his energy. I don't know if you call me weird. Does he look a little thicker, like, through the every time I watch him now, I'm like, man, don't blow up, Zion. Stay on that diet.
Oh, man.
And I think that's obviously what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not surprised by anything right there.
I would, you should be more chomping at the bit to play, for my personal taste, if you haven't played in an NBA game yet.
Right.
What came across to me in that, and this is just me. I'm not like killing the kid for sounding like the way he did. He's a young kid doing an interview. Sounds like you've already arrived. Like you've already put your stamp on the NBA and you've already proven that you're an all-star. And so, hey man, you know, when I feel like I'm ready to play, Bro, if you were a young cat and you were the first pick in the draft, you should be chomping at the bit to get back out there. I'm not saying that you need to play hurt. I'm saying that you should come across like that in your interview. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I hear that. Yeah.
I can't wait to play. Unfortunately, like right now, you know,
team won't let me.
They won't let me play right now. I got to clear some protocols. There's some hurdles I got to get over and some checks I got to, you know, some tests I got to get checked off, and then I'll be ready to go. But I can't wait. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, I do hear that.
Yours was kind of like, you know, hey, man.
Right.
You guys know what I am.
Yeah, now that you said that, it does. I am off like that. Yeah, he definitely did. What do you got,
Joe? But Raj, I think to your point yesterday when we were talking about load management, and you said we can't always blame it on the players. Look at the organization. I thought it was pretty telling that at the end of it, at first he said, well, when I'm ready to play, I'll play. And then at the last thing he said was, when they let me play. So all the people who were like, oh, he doesn't want to play, or he's resting and this and that, he basically said at the end there that it's on the team. And also, one thing, Danny, to your Zion's a nice dude and all that, we talked about it a little bit before the show. I'll be fascinated to see in 5 years from now how Zion treats the media, because I watched that whole thing and they asked some dumb questions. Like, hey, Zion, how do you think you're going to be able to contribute protecting the rim and rebounding?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to play. I'm gonna block shots. I play the game. Yeah. But he was like smiling and he was nice about it. In 5 years, he probably won't be so nice about those questions.
Which you see LeBron happens all the time. LeBron's been peppered with dumb questions throughout his career.
Yeah.
At some point, you just get fed up with it. Welcome back to Kinnell and Bell. Antonio Brown, it feels like just when you kind of get used to a world without Antonio Brown in the NFL, like he pops his head out and is like, remember me. Like, don't forget about me. And that's exactly what happened yesterday, because it's kind of flying under the radar. And then all of a sudden he takes to Twitter, which he does so frequently. And usually it ends himself up in trouble like he does now. Trouble, whatever you want to call it. People speculate about his mental health, I think, is probably the more serious issue. But his first tweet said, imagine conforming to a system, giving it 100%. To see them treat me like this is unfairly. Making money off my sweat and blood bleeping the NFL. I'll never play in that bleep. Treat black people the worst. Clear my name and go bleep yourself. All right. So initially you're like, all right. And he said this before. He's already said, I'm not going to play in the NFL. So you're like, okay. Now he's supposed to meet with the NFL next week. When I first saw that, I was like, did he just get out of a meeting and he was ticked because they told him he couldn't play? Something must have, maybe he talked to his agent. And he said, I don't want you to think this. There's something that would have triggered this. Don't you think? Like, I don't picture him just sitting there all of a sudden getting mad.
I don't know. Right. Honestly, I can't figure him out. So I can't,
well,
he could just be sitting somewhere and, you know, a fly buzzes by him and he triggers. Like, I don't know.
Right. So apparently something happened where he changed his mind. My guess is probably Drew Rosenhaus's agent.
What are you doing?
Exactly. Or somebody that is in his inner circle. And I don't know who those people are, but I would assume his agent is one of them, said, hey, you need to walk that back. So he tweeted out his second tweet. I'm just very frustrated right now with the false allegations and slander to my name. I love football and I miss it. I just want to play and I'm very emotional about that. I'm determined to make my way back to the NFL ASAP.
So you are talking about two completely contradictory, like, tweets.
How long
were these? This was hours?
That's what I was going to look to.
Found out what the salaries were for the XFL in that time.
You know, let me just play devil's advocate with his situation. Cause I'm assuming most people are siding with the NFL. Antonio Brown's a bad guy, so on and so forth. I'm not saying he is, but I think that's the prevailing sentiment regarding him, right? Like, it's just, you know, what happened is there's no room in the world for that to begin with. And so we've all assumed that he's done it and we keep it moving. Let's say just for talking sake.
Yes.
That he didn't do that.
Right.
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 And that he knows that he's innocent of that. And this is a smear job by someone. Not saying that I know. I'm just saying, let's say that that's the case. The NFL, in my opinion, has done everything they can do to make him an untouchable. Now, he's been complicit in this, too, by being an idiot on social media.
Right.
But no team will even take a swing at the talent right now because of the sexual assault possibility and the uncertainty over whether or not the NFL is going to clear him to play. Right. Like, no one knows. You mean to tell me, NFL, it takes you this damn long to come to some kind of conclusion on that matter? Not like this isn't a criminal case. Like,
but
this is deciding whether or not he can play or not.
And if you recall, the accuser they met with, like, remember she had her wedding
six weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
So, like, if I'm Antonio Brown, like, I'm, you know, I am frustrated. If I know that I haven't done this and you are just holding me hostage in terms of like, there are some teams out there that would take a swing at Antonio Brown.
Do you think they would?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
If he were cleared to play, dude, like if this wasn't, if they're like, look, we looked into that situation.
Yep.
It's not going to be an issue. Antonio Brown is good to play. Now, he's still a headache. He's
well, that's
still
what
a
I
diva.
Was going to say. You can't overlook You'll what happened with the Raiders and the Patriots.
Not the Patriots.
And
not the Patriots.
Social media.
Not the Patriots.
Right, because he was taken off there. Yeah.
The Patriots was because of this.
Right.
The Raiders situation was him. And
right.
You saw the
Clearly.
Best team on the planet say, hey, we ain't worried about what happened in Oakland, man. Give us that.
Right.
There would be teams that if that, independent of this situation with the young lady, if that were cleared up and were to go away, and I don't know that it will be, but
right.
if it would, there would be plenty of teams that would still swing at AB, especially in this situation where it's only for a few games, you know, half of a season down a stretch. You know what I mean, Danny?
Yep.
So, like, if that was purely hypothetical, but if that were the case and I were AB, in that case scenario, I'd be a little frustrated too.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if he does get, we've seen other suspensions. Kareem Hunt is back this week, served 8 games.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott served 6 games. He's already sat out a lot. So, at some point, you've got to look like, hey, this is time served. I haven't been there. So, it almost tells me there's more likely a scenario that he does get cleared and comes back, which, again, the why are you derailing yourself? Because I do think his social media over the past 6 weeks when he's been out, that is beyond me how his agent, his closest advisors, how they're not saying, stay off it. Don't do anything.
What is wrong with you?
Right.
Stop.
Exactly. Because you are derailing yourself now. And it's one thing if you want to call up your agent, you want to call your friends and you vent to them. You want to go off and you want to screw the NFL. You want to say all these things. Do it somewhere because obviously you want to get that out. Just don't do it where the whole world can see.
Yes.
Then it makes teams scared. To do it. So let's see. In the golf world, there was also news as Tiger Woods, the captain, of the President's Cup, there was some speculation. I think it was a no-brainer, but he named himself the final member of the President's Cup team.
There were people out there speculating that he would.
I don't
do that.
Think there was. I mean, I think maybe some people did, but his statement was funny because he said, as captain, I'm going to choose Tiger Woods as the last player on the team. He's made, what, 9 cups? He's played in Australia. This is Tiger Woods talking.
Yes, talking about Tiger
He's
Woods.
He's played in Australia twice in the President's Cup, so this will be his third appearance there as a player. He paused. I find it interesting I'm talking in the third person, isn't it? It was, and he did an interview where he sat down with us, and he was, like, explaining it in the third person. I think it's awesome. I think it's a no-brainer. Like, it's a done deal. Why wouldn't you play yourself?
Dude, he's number 7 in the world. It's not like he's right. number 125, and he's like, yeah, I'm just going to throw old Tiger in the mix here. He's number 7 in the world right
it
now.
It is, as a captain in the golf world where it is, you know, this gentleman's game and you're all, you know, all buddy buddy with some guys.
Mm-hmm.
He did pass over Ricky Fowler, which I thought was pretty interesting because they both live in Jupiter.
Uh-huh.
I think they do like to practice around from by all accounts. They do have a pretty good relationship. That's got to be a really tough one to go like to pass somebody up. That's a pretty good player. That's a really big name. And you're like, nope.
Oh, anytime you're like cutting someone or like,
yes.
You know what I mean?
And like, I think if you're a coach or a boss, but this is like a colleague. You know, because it's a captain's pick, like this is not, you know what I mean? It's just a really weird situation.
I hear you, but Tony Finau made it, friend of the show, so I'm great.
Exactly.
Right?
So you're all good.
It. Yeah, we're good. Right. At what point in your star rising or your star level, like on a scale of 1 to 10,
right,
does it become appropriate or acceptable to speak in the third person?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't ever enjoy it. I don't like anybody talking.
Do you ever refer to Danny Cannell?
No,
as
I don't.
Cannell?
I honestly can say I never have in a serious nature. Maybe joking around, doing some sort of bit, but I have never referred to my. Have you?
I cannot recall ever having referenced myself.
I don't think I could pull it off. Like, you definitely, like, Kobe's done it.
Yeah.
But even when Kobe does it, I still say, ooh, it's a bad look. Like, I just think it's a horrible thing to do. I just think
Mamba,
it's...
Mamba out?
Yes, of that. Like, I just think it's... I don't know. Maybe
just,
get
I'm wondering, like, at what point? Like, at what level do you have to be at?
I think it's got
to
be at a 10 of a 10. You got to be, without question, like, the greatest at what you do or one in that conversation for sure. All right, welcome back to Cannell and Bell. I'm not a huge fan of analytics in the old sense of the way that we use the term,
right.
The traditional sense. I am all about analytics, the way it was used by a Reddit user. I think it's you reddit.com/angrycentrist. If you asked about Reddit, I'm not 100% sure what it is. It is a website. It is a post on there, a thread that you can go look at. So this gentleman, assuming it's a gentleman or lady, went and created the hypothesis that James Harden's box score declines in cities with high quality strip clubs. So you're thinking that's the hypothesis, a very scientific experiment.
Right.
And this obviously was started after the performance in Miami where he had South Beach flu. I actually had a buddy who went down to the game, was like, he was really bummed. His kid was wearing a James Harden jersey and a fake beard and like really was dying to see him. And then he said, they were like, oh, this is bad. So that's the hypothesis. Then the methodology. First, extract all of James Harden's game logs for the past four seasons from Basketball Reference, right? Cleaned up the data a bit and appended it into a single worksheet. Next, you filter out all the home games, right? You're just assuming Hayes at home, he's going to stay out of those.
Right.
Then you try to look at the poor performance. You look at some correlation. You put them in categories. Subpar, very subpar. You try to do that. Then you post those against cities with their strip club rating, which was determined by the average Google review rating for the first 10 strip clubs in each city based on the Google search city strip clubs. And then finally, put the city strip club rating into the pivoted game log data and performed a regression analysis and visualized it into charts.
That's deep.
It's very deep.
That's deep.
Did we what get was the final? I'm trying. Joey, do you have the conclusion on this? Because I see the whole study.
The conclusion is I have proven to a statistically significant degree that James Harden's game performance declines in cities with higher rated strip clubs.
So he has done
that's
that.
Great.
Would you?
That's great. That's phenomenal.
Does it surprise you?
No, yes.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, yes, because listen, you think James Harden or any professional athlete is living in a strip club?
Right.
Like, what the hell? Where are we? Like, come on, man. There's like some of these cities have really cool stuff to get into.
Well, that's what
you're
I was going to say.
In a strip club now.
Right.
Like, nightlife in general?
Yes.
Another conversation.
And there probably is some correlation with Miami, New York, LA, like some
nightlife.
That it's all, there's a correlation. Hey, they also have great strip clubs. They also have great nightlife.
Right.
And even us, when we talked about the South Beach flu, we were talking about Club Live. We weren't talking about a strip club.
No,
we were
not
talking about
great
nightlife.
Like Diamonds or
exactly.
Cocos.
Maybe it was. Hey, I'm not familiar with them the way you are.
He had a couple other interesting stats. So it said, other interesting facts. Harden's best performance comes in the city that is rated as the worst strip club in his rating, which is Toronto. He said his best performance comes in that city. His worst performance comes in the city with the best strip club rating, which, according to his rating, is Miami. And then he wrote, Salt Lake City has the third-ranked strip club in all NBA cities, LOL.
Is that true?
Salt Lake City has the third-ranked strip club?
All right, I don't even know if we should go down this rabbit hole.
Why not?
But I would say, like, they're pretty good-looking people in Utah, don't you think?
Yes.
So I would say, like, absolutely. If you were judging that off, or they might, we can't go down this rabbit hole on there.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, don't have much else to do, so you're really excited about that, so it rates really well.
I would just say, like, that's hilarious.
Right. No, it's a fantastic study.
I mean,
and the fact that he played it up like a scientific experiment
pretty
funny. Is pretty clever there.
And, now,
James, do you think somebody will have the cojones to go up to James Harden and say, hey, I saw this study. Do you have any comment?
Be prepared not to get your media pass revoked.
Yes.
I had someone in the game too, and I was told that the time that was relayed for James Harden actually getting to the game was like a lot earlier than he got there.
They
were saying that he walked by them and it was a little later than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
right. You never know.
But I just speculation. Strip club. Now you're talking about going out and enjoying yourself in a city that has opportunities that yours might not have.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, also, I mean, if you just factored in travel, like jet lag, you know, sleeping in a bed that's not your own, all that.
Correct.
I mean,
for 2 hours.
Very naive, you know. Yes. For 2 hours. That would impact it too. Let's take a look. And I know it's early in the season, but the updated NBA championships odds via Caesars. No surprise, Lakers and Clippers still at the forefront, plus 300 and plus 350. Sixers and Bucks at the same odds at plus 600 from the Eastern Conference. Then it goes back, Rockets plus 800, Nuggets plus 1200.
Yeah.
Would you sit here? You've been bullish on the Lakers the whole time. Have you seen enough at, you know, 8-9 games into the NBA schedule to make a really strong opinion, or do you need to see more than the limited window we've seen? Or are you, like, good with what you've seen?
No, I feel like these teams fall into to different categories, right? Like, you're talking about the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, and the Sixers.
Right.
I've seen enough to know that they have the chops if all things, you know, sort themselves out and they don't get injured, and they're going to be fine. Some of those other teams, like towards the end of that list, I'm going to reserve judgment for about a 20, 23, 24, 25 game window.
Right.
Just to see if you can sustain it. Like, you know, and I don't know if that's fair or not. That's just the way I'm approaching it. I do believe in the Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, even the Warriors would fall into, I know what you're going to be at the end of the day. The Nuggets, kind of. And then some of those other teams, I need a little bit more.
These are NBA championship odds, so I don't want to get too fired up.
Right.
Because my Celtics, my squad.
I know. I knew you were going to. I knew. That's where I thought you were going.
They're at plus 2,200, and yet they're atop the Eastern Conference.
You know what that means?
With a 6-1 record. They haven't played anybody yet.
You know what plus 2,200 means?
They're a long shot. It means they have no chance, is what it means. I want to take a flyer on them, but I wouldn't. Wouldn't take the flyer. I might take a flyer on them to win the Eastern Conference, but they ain't going to win the thing.
Yeah,
they're not going to win at all.
They're a good story, though. They're playing good basketball. Shout out to my man. He hates it when I call him G-Man, right? Phil Johnson used to call him, like, G-Man. He thought it was, like, the coolest thing. It was
right?
Like, old FBI thing. Gordon Hayward hated it. He's my dude, though. And yep. I told you, like, 1 year after that catastrophic –
I told you. We take credit for my comment.
We both must.
I said he was going to be better.
I've been saying that for years. No, listen, but straight up, he's playing good basketball again. He looks confident on his leg again. And when you put him, Kemba, and Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, that's a nice mix. They got a better team than I thought they would.
Bonus pick for me on the college football side. I think LSU is going to beat Alabama this weekend. I think it's the year they get it done. 8-0. Like, I'm a guy at Vegas when I go up to the roulette table and I see, like, you know, 10 blacks in a row I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a, hey, it's got to change at some point, but I'm a believer. And we talked about Chase Young earlier, the Heisman impact. Joe Burrow is going to come out this weekend as the clear-cut favorite. I think he can win the Heisman Trophy.
Did you put any money on Joe Burrow before the season? Because you've been on that from the jump.
But I waited too long. You could have made a lot of money.
Right.
I think somebody out there documented it has taken him to win the Heisman Trophy out there. So, and anyway, enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be back on Monday to break them all down. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.